All right, everybody. So this is a topic near and dear to my heart. It's a little I don't know if it's a real topic. It's something I'm pretty sure I didn't make up. I'm sure there's an official definition for what I do, and I call it ETF stacking, and I guess that's what I'm going to stick to it. So there's a lot of good ETFs out there, a lot of exchange traded funds that have a variety of mixtures. Now, Vanguard Total World Index is the creme de la creme greatest ETF when it comes to the amount of stocks. But me, personally, I like to have a diversification of not only strategy, but I like to have exposure to other things too, like commodities. And ETFs do give me that exposure in some way. My goal really isn't about weighting my portfolio. I don't really think that much about the weighting of it. What I really think about the most is how exposed am I to different things, different assets, different asset classes. It's really important to me. Now, the weighting of it doesn't matter to me because I never sell. I don't sell ever. Once I'm committed, I'm committed. If a company goes bankrupt, whoop-de-fucking-do. I've got plenty of other companies. I'm pretty good for the most part when it comes to stock picking. I'm okay. But I still like to stack my ETFs. So I'll find like some different Vanguard ETFs. I'll just throw Vanguard ETFs on the screen real fast. You can see here, here's a photo. So these are the 10 best Vanguard ETFs for low cost holding. This is by 2021. This is a little outdated, but it shows you like the different regions, how diversified it really is. And I think this is for, you know, I don't really know. That chart doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't. So I'm going to move past it and just not care about it that much. Camera guy, please get over here, please. Thank you. Thank you, camera guy, please. Can you, my Robert Downey Jr. impression gets worse with time. One moment. So, do you guys think that, what do you guys think? In real honest opinion, do you guys prefer stacking different ETFs together and just for the hell of it? I've got all kinds of different exchange-traded funds. I got covered call ETFs. I've got bond. I got ones that expose me to the bond market. I even have covered call. You get this, covered call bond ETFs. And look, I only buy like just a share, just so I could have exposure. And that's the key for me is exposure. How much exposure can I get to different things in the market? That's important. I think that if you can get exposure to the best, to ETFs that give you exposure to derivatives, that's what a covered call really is. It's just derivative income. It's nice. My mentor, Strongman Personal Finance, doesn't agree with me completely on this. He doesn't like covered call ETFs, and he shouldn't. They're not something that you want to have your entire portfolio based around. In fact, you don't even want that many covered calls in your portfolio. You just want enough. And the only reason I have covered calls in my portfolio is for the income it provides during a bear market. It's not bad. It increases. It does pretty well. I mean, the principal doesn't do very well. The principal of the covered call ETF does not do very well. But the dividend income that you get, though, for sure, is very nice. But in the long run, it's covered call ETFs are not a good long-term investment if you want principal appreciation. I still want principal appreciation because I do want companies that grow over time, grow their dividend. I don't know how much dividend growth you really get in a covered call ETF, so it's like I would imagine not much. You get a fat dividend payment, sure, but and those dividend payments, they fluctuate depending on, you know, how much the company goes up or down. Honestly, in a sideways market, a covered call ETF is kind of nice, but you can never, don't count on it ever really always being sideways. It'll go sideways from time to time, but not forever. But who knows? So the thing for me is I love stacking up on ETFs. I'm really an ETFs kind of guy. I see, what's one of them? I'm drawing a blank. But yeah, like cover call ETFs. They even have like, ones that expose you to different, expose you to different like put strategies. I don't think I've gotten exposure to those yet. But really, my main goal is to buy real estate investment trusts at really low costs. Find individual stocks that are high quality companies at lower prices. During market crashes, though, I do like to stock up on different ETFs. I do love the Schwab Dividend Index one. It's an ETF, but it's pretty much an index of dividend companies. But those are my favorite. I think that any diversified ETF that has higher yielding, I'm trying to find a way to explain it. So what I really love is an ETF that holds a bunch of stocks that pay a good dividend and also grow their dividends over time. So dividend growth is important to me. And principal appreciation obviously is important to me because if the company grows bigger and has more earnings and becomes more valuable and things like that, chances are they're going to raise their dividends. So obviously I love principal appreciation of a company. I want a company to become more valuable over time. That's the only reason I'm getting into the company is because I do believe that it will be valuable over time. And it will protect me against inflation. That's the hope. That's the key. And, but yeah, for the most part, I think exposure to different ETFs is a good thing. I'm really, really diversified at this point, not only in stocks, in strategy as well. The fact that I got covered call ETFs is great. Those covered call ETFs actually do provide an interesting form of source of income for the portfolio at all times. And during bear markets, that's when I'm buying the most anyway. So, I mean, I'm still buying even during the good times, but I'm not buying as much. I bought a lot of REITs, you guys. I bought a lot of REITs during the interest rate rises. People were selling off their REITs, man. I was like, you guys are idiots. I'm going to buy. I diversified my portfolio and turned it into a REIT, can't think of anything creative, but a REIT smorgasbord, I guess. I don't know. The point I'm trying to make is I love REITs. I can't help it. I like the dividends they pay. Do I get taxed on those worse? Yes. You get taxed pretty hard. I mean, it depends on your tax bracket, but you do get taxed on dividends. And at the end of the day, I really don't care. I just don't care that I get taxed on them. I just want income that I can use in any way that I see fit. If I want to pay off my car, I'll pay off my car. If I want to invest in more companies, I'll take that dividend. I'll reinvest it. The point is, I love ETF stacking. I get ETFs. I look for the different Vanguard ETFs that are out there. I love those spider ones. Those are cool. There's like VanEck or something like that. There's all sorts of different ones. But the point is, exposure to different ETFs that expose you to different companies and also expose you to different strategies as well can be really, really handy. Am I going to beat the market? No, not in the slightest. And I don't really care. I just want to buy when everybody's extremely pessimistic. I want to buy a lot. I love bear markets. It's the only time I really, really splurge. This is one of the reasons why I keep a lot of cash on hand, because you never know when great companies that pay a dividend will get slaughtered because everybody's selling their stocks. And not just in one company, but in every company. Bear markets are great because it's just everybody's become irrational. They're all afraid. And that's fun for me. I mean, I hate the fact that people are afraid. I wish people wouldn't be afraid. But when people are afraid and selling off, it's really a good time to buy. And I'm consistently buying whenever bear markets happen, and usually the bear markets don't last that long. They last like maybe in today's age, I swear they only last like about a couple weeks or a month. But when a massive dip happens, buy the dip. And this is not financial advice. talk to a financial advisor, please. For the love of God, don't listen to some chode like me. Chode on YouTube. I'm a chode. I'm a chode. I'm the greatest chode of all time. The greatest, the goat. Tom Brady-esque. But yeah, I think what I really want to see people do to succeed, and I think there's a formula to success. There absolutely is. I want to guide your guys' cocks. That's all I want to say. I want to guide your cock. I don't want to cock block you. Just like the cops in Superbad said, they want to guide McLovin's cock. All right. I'm trying to guide your financial cocks. All right. I want to help your financial cocks. I want to be financially inside you. Please. Please. Let me be financially inside you guys. Please? Come on. You can do something about it? Come on, man. I've become an e-girl. I am an e-girl. Sorry, not sorry. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. OMG. OMG. Anyway, I got nothing else. The point is, keep investing. Look for different types of ETFs out there. I think it's fun. This is all a philosophy, by the way, of mine. I just love finding different ETFs and buying a share. We live in an age where you don't have to pay a commission fee. You just buy a share and that's it. Whatever price the market says. That's the easiest way to do it. I'm playing a long-term game. I got decent yielding dividend stocks the more I look at it. And yeah, I put a lot of money down into the market. I also bet against Bitcoin pretty heavily. Another thing that funds my portfolio, oddly enough, is while I am a buy and hold investor for the most part, I am also a swing trader of the Bitty, the Bitcoin. It's basically the ProShares Bitcoin short strategy. It's a way for you to bet against the price of Bitcoin. So as Bitcoin goes up in price, obviously I'm buying more of the Bitty on the dip when the Bitty's dipping, because the Bitty basically does the inverse of whatever the price of Bitcoin does. So if Bitcoin goes up in a day, obviously the Bitty's going to go down in the day. So that helps me because I like buying the Bitty on the dip because I know anything with an intrinsic value of zero eventually goes to zero. That's the whole point. And you got to think about that. Anything with an intrinsic value of zero eventually goes to zero, especially if all the clowns are throwing their money at this clownish, I'm not even going to call it a digital asset. It's a digital liability. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Just got to stop saying that. So you guys know where I stand, obviously. Bitcoin sucks, and I do like the fact that the Bitty, in a way, helps me fund my portfolio, because every time Bitcoin collapses or goes down, I sell a little bit of the Bitty here and there. Just a little bit. And those little micro-profits allow me to basically put more money into different dividend stocks and stuff. The Bitty does not consist of a lot of my portfolio. It's a very small fraction of my portfolio. But I do love it because I really don't believe in Bitcoin. I believe that a bet against Bitcoin is probably one of the most valuable things I could do. So that's the way I'm playing it smart. But anyway, thank you guys. Just love Jeremy Lefebvre. He's going through a hard time. He's looking like a Backstreet Boy. I might sign him on to my crew. Jeremy Financial Education needs to be a part of my grifting crew. This is an invitation for you, Jeremy. Please become a member of my $10,000 course club. Jeremy and I need to combine forces to create our own $10,000 course to talk about stock picking like a clown without looking like a clown. I repeat that. Stock picking like a clown without looking like a clown. Boom. Jeremy Financial Education, you and I were making the greatest $10,000 course of all time, and I love you, bud. He does look like a Backstreet Boy, though. I look like a Backstreet Boy. I take it in the back door.